This morning lesson will come from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. And I do like the partition up behind us while we're undergoing a little bit of renovations. Pay no attention to the man behind the partition. Susan gave me that because I'm never clever enough to come up with something on my own. So, and in case you thought summer was not here, and God's promises would not continue to be fulfilled, you can check the temperature today and the next few days, and we can be assured that God's promises will continue and summer is here. So if you want to open up your Bibles, though, or keep them open to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be spending most of our time there within that chapter. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 stands as this in Scripture is this great chapter of faith. It's known as, and it's been called, the honor roll of the faithful, heroes of the faith hall of fame. You know, very similar titles or references have been given to it. It's one of the most distinctive chapters in all of Scripture. The Hebrew writer actually points to men and women of faith under the old covenant in order to help those wavering Jewish Christians renew their obedience to the new covenant that we're now under. The words by faith actually begin 18 separate statements within the chapter. And the statements tell of people who resisted temptation. You know, they endured persecution and heartbreak, all while they kept their trust in God. And the focus in this chapter that we see in verse 39 is on those who gained approval through their faith. These men and women, they lived their lives according to God's promises. They believed what He said, even though some of the blessings that God spoke of were far, you know, far into the future. And many of those promises concerned things they could scarcely even dream of. They might even not even live to see them come to fruition. Yet, through all that, they still accepted them as real because their faith was their spiritual sight. And today, this chapter serves to inspire all Christians, all readers, in their faith to persevere by looking and imitating those heroes of the faith in the past. For the Hebrew writer, faith is essentially it's trust or it's confidence in God. It's faith in His declarations, maybe in the past. We see that in verse 3, that He spoke the universe, the world into existence, and those in the future. Right? We read about each of those separate men and women, future declarations. And at times, faith in the book of Hebrews actually becomes faithfulness. It kind of morphs into faithfulness, and they're very similar terms. You can use them many times almost interchangeably. And we see that because the emphasis on in chapter 11 on faith, it just follows very naturally from the end of chapter 10, the Hebrew writer, his distinction between faith and shrinking back. In fact, if you turn back to chapter 10, and we'll just look at verses 36 through 39. It reads, For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So you can see faith is the opposite of shrinking back. It's that staying power. In other words, that courageous spirit that enables us to choose, you know, duty and hardship over a life of ease and safety. Moses was a man of such faith. Four times the statements about Moses are introduced with the words, by faith, in our reading. You can see that in verses 23, 24, 27, and 28. Faith characterized his life from his youth all the way to his death. And what's interesting about this passage in verse 23, it actually begins with the faith of Moses' parents being demonstrated. It says, they protected Moses despite the edict or the command from Pharaoh to kill all the little baby boys of Israel. It was an act of trust in God and in his providence. They certainly had a very strong and enduring faith in God. And the faith of Moses' parents actually became the faith of Moses as he grew. So what was it about Moses' faith that was so powerful? What was it? What qualities did his faith manifest? This morning I want to explore those questions as we look at our text, verses 23 through 29, because I think we'll find some great insight where we can see Moses' faith described. And this morning I want to look at five characteristics of Moses' faith. The first characteristic, it was disciplined. Moses' faith was disciplined. In verses 24 and 25 of chapter 11, it reads, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, Moses' faith and his trust in God led him to make some very, very difficult, very challenging, very tough decisions. In Acts chapter 7, verses 21 and following, Stephen, when he is speaking to the Jewish council, actually gives us a little bit of maybe a nice summary of Moses' youth. And he describes Moses' youth in Pharaoh's palaces and as Pharaoh's, you know, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then also his identification with the Israelites as well. It says that, you know, Pharaoh's daughter had found Moses, and we know that. He took him away and he nurtured him as her own son, right? And Moses then grew up in all the learning of the Egyptians. And it says he was a man of power in words and in deeds. But the remarkable faith of Moses is seen in his very deliberate decision of self-renunciation. His decision of self-renunciation. Moses chose to endure the ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. When Moses saw that burden, you know, the hard labors that the people of Israel were subjected to, he was faced with a decision. He was faced with a decision. Whether to remain kind of in the eyes of men as, well, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, or to throw his lot in with those despised people of God, the Israelites. He couldn't be both an Israelite and an Egyptian. He had to make the choice. So on the one hand, there was all that splendor of Egypt with all of its treasures, right? Its magnificent heritage that it had, that they had. He could be in Pharaoh's palaces. He could be in a position of power and a place of privilege. Possibly possess the throne down the road. On the other hand, there was poverty. There was affliction. There was contempt. Remember, Israel was a nation of slaves, and they were bearing a heavy load and daily abuse. So Moses chose affliction over the pleasure. The decision of pleasing God, which can lead to temporary affliction versus pleasing of yourself, temporary pleasure that you would receive from that, it takes tremendous discipline, real discipline in your life. Moses exemplified that. Moses exemplified that. As Christians, we certainly can look to the example of Moses, and we can find the courage we need to have the discipline in our lives to make those difficult decisions that we have to make when following God. And they are challenging. It's certainly much easier to make the choice of just those temporary pleasures because it's just more pleasurable. It's easy to do versus the temporary affliction of pleasing God. But we need to be disciplined in our faith to make the right decision following God. Second characteristic, he was visionary. Moses' faith was visionary. If we read in verse 26, so right after, you know, we see in verses 24 and 5 where he chose to endure the ill treatment of the Israelites rather than the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26 picks up, he says, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He was looking to the reward. You know, the wealth of Egypt during the time of Moses was legendary. Think of it, not too long ago, God was working through Joseph, you know, through the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine, when tremendous wealth was flowing into Egypt. We remember King Tut, right? Everybody remembers King Tut. His tomb was found. And he was just a minor prophet, right? He was 18 or 19 years old. But his treasure was estimated, I think in today's dollars, between about $750 billion to about $1 billion. And again, he was just a minor prophet. Right? And I think they actually lived, Moses and King Tut only lived about 100 years apart. So very close in age. So we compare these two individuals. Tut, he lives in the memory of his wealth, right? But Moses lives in the memory of God and the faithful for all time. Tut, he shows that fame and wealth, they just last only for a season. They're just temporary, right? As the wealth and power of Egypt were broken not too long after that. But Moses chose the side of, you know, those lowly Israelites. And that's because it was God's side. It was God's side. And the wealth and the power of God endure. He chose to share the lot of those downtrodden Israelites rather to continue in the ease of Egypt. And Moses, like Christ, was not ashamed of his brothers. We can read about Christ in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Moses wasn't ashamed of his brothers, and he became one of them. It says, suffering reproach or abuse for Christ. And what the author seems to be saying here is that Moses suffered the same kind of reproach that Christ was later to bear. You know, and this example would have been especially significant to the readers of Hebrews at that time because they were suffering for their allegiance to Christ. That's a wonderful example for us today as well. But Moses saw by faith that to continue in ease would be sin, and the pleasures of sin would provide no lasting satisfaction. And Moses was able to do this because he had a very uncommon awareness of very true values. He was looking to the expected reward. So Moses looked beyond the reproach. He looked beyond the treasures of Egypt to the ultimate reward. And the word look there in the text, It actually means to look away from all other objects and to look at only one. In other words, you're just putting blinders on and I'm only looking at one object. And it's a continual action. In other words, Moses fixed his eyes on the goal and he kept looking to the goal. It's exactly what we need to do in life as Christians. We need to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, when he said, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We need to take that long look, the eternal look in our lives. You know, Job chapter 20, verse 5 says, "The triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the godless is momentary." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So the Hebrew writer tells us that a vital aspect of faith is a belief that God will reward those who seek him. So, like Moses, we must keep our eyes, our focus, on the heavenly reward. That's where our focus needs to be. The third characteristic I want to look at for the faith of Moses. He was decisive. Moses was very decisive. We read in verse 27, it says, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen." So in this great act of faith, Moses left Egypt. And the word translated left can also mean abandon or forsake, right? So it describes actually a great, tremendous decision by Moses to leave Egypt. It's not an ordinary journey. In other words, Moses abandoned the security of Egypt that he had. He made that challenging decision to follow God and to serve God rather than Pharaoh. Rather than just coming to his own fear of his personal safety, or maybe the difficulties that lie ahead, he made the decision to leave what would have been his home. Possibly he still had family members that were there, loved ones, good friends. What about a high position? Financial security, certainly had that. It was a difficult decision, but he made it. The Hebrew writer states that he endured as seeing him who is unseen. And by enduring, the author is telling us that Moses was very strong in the sense of kind of steadying himself against a stream or a flow, like from a river. He steadied himself. So in other words, Moses remained very resolute in his purpose. Even when the people of Israel did not always embrace his leadership, and they did not many times. And it may be worth noting that both Abraham in verse 8 and actually Moses here are pictured as abandoning their security. They abandoned all their security. And maybe one reason for presenting these heroes in such terms is demonstrated in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, if you want to turn over there. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." The Hebrew writer there is encouraging his readers and us as Christians, obviously, to go out and to abandon our security for the sake of Christ. To be decisive, in other words, to be resolute in our faith and in our decision to follow God. Again, the faith that Moses exemplified is the faith that as Christians we need to exemplify. So we see Moses' faith as being disciplined, it's visionary, it's decisive. The fourth characteristic of Moses' faith, it's obedient, it was obedient faith. Look at verse 28. Of chapter 11. It says, "By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them." Here we just see another manifestation of Moses' faith. It says, by faith Moses heeded God's command, and he kept the Passover, and he sprinkled the blood. So Moses was obedient to what God instructed him to do. It's similar to the kind of faith that we see with Noah up in verse 7 when he was building the ark. So each instance with Noah and with Moses, it required very careful obedience to a divine command, God's command, although they could see no physical evidence of what was coming. They couldn't see it. Obedience was the only means of escape from an oncoming destruction. You know, the only worthwhile faith is an obedient faith. A faith that won't work, it's not active, it's dead, according to James chapter 2, verse 26. Moses did exactly what he was told to do and commanded to do. And as faithful Christians, we can do no less today. We can do no less today. We need to have an obedient faith. We need to have an obedient faith. And you've heard this statement many times from this pulpit. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. The fifth characteristic and final characteristic I want to look at this morning is in verse 29. It's one characteristic of being victorious. Being victorious. Look at verse 29. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. So the act of faith described here, you know, refers to the work of all the Israelites. Yet, the faith of the people, the Israelites, would be nothing without the faith of Moses. It would be nothing without the faith of Moses. Much like the faith of Moses, you know, came from his parents, the faith of Moses became the faith of Israel. And many times helping them to overcome their fear. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. That's Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Here we see the Israelites are on the brink of going across the Red Sea, but they see the Egyptian army, and now they're back in fear. So listen to what verse 13 says. It says, but Moses said to the people, do not fear, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. You know, the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt was the great saving event of the Old Testament. It's the central aspect of Israel's confession of faith, and you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 9. It was Moses who told the people to move forward to the water and see the salvation of the Lord. Still, it was the people who responded positively by committing themselves. They showed their faith by obeying what God had instructed and commanded them to do through Moses. It's an example of the power of faith accomplishing what might seem impossible. And that the crossing was only accomplished by faith is actually seen in the opposite experience of the Egyptians, who were not commanded to cross over, and they were drowned. The faith that led the Israelites to the Red Sea led them across it. When they took that final step of faith, God destroyed the Egyptian army. But it wasn't until then. It wasn't until then. They came to know the Lord's deliverance, and they were victorious because of faith. They were victorious because of faith. You know, as we look at this passage on Moses and his great faith, there's certainly a lot of things we can take from it. And our application today would be something like anyone who has a disciplined and visionary and decisive and obedient faith can be victorious, because we have God's word for it. We have God's word for it. You know, there may be some here this morning who are struggling with their faith, been going through some trials or temptations, afflictions, and they all come upon us We can look at our prayer list, and we can listen to the prayer this morning. We know a lot of folks are suffering, going through a lot of trials, physically, but also those who might not be mentioned are going through spiritual trials. If you need some help of any kind spiritually in your walk of faith, we're certainly here to help you, to pray for you, to surround you with love, to encourage you on your walk. There may be others that are ready to put on Jesus Christ in baptism. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They're ready to repent from their sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God and will be their Savior and their Master. They're ready to be baptized, immersed for the forgiveness of their sins, to walk a new life, a walk of faith. If there's anything that we can do for you spiritually, I just ask that you come now as we stand and sing our invitation song.